This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning, we are looking at a particular scripture in Ezekiel 16, the topic: why is honor important to God? Why is honor important to God? Everything in life has its real value. Then it also has a sentimental value. It also has a spiritual value as well as its abstract value. Let me give you an example. I got a case, maybe about this time last year. This man was working with an NGO in Amsterdam, but he was working from Nigeria as a remote staff. The wife was a nurse in Nigeria, and both of them are doing well with two children. Then the NGO gave him an opportunity, said, "Oh, do you have anybody you want to sponsor? We have this program so that the person can become an international volunteer for emergency cases, IDPs, displaced people, and all that. They are going to do a course in Turkey. After that, they will do another one." And do I have been a nurse? She'll be given first respondent and all those trainings. She was going to start earning in dollars and all that. And so this man quickly remembered his wife. See, and he said, "Ha, my dear, please, this opportunity is for the two of us to make life so better. I'll take care of the children. You have to fill in." So he brought in all the forms. The wife filled all the forms, and then quickly they sourced for fund, got her on the flight. She flew first to Geneva, from Geneva. Then she started her training from Turkey. She had 3 months stint in Turkey. From there, she moved to Brussels. From there, she was in Copenhagen. From there, so within, she had certification of different type of courses within 2 years, and she was upgraded very quickly into one of the super first responders for places like Gaza. Also, it was a risky job, but the money she was making was very good. And the husband manned the house with the children and was still earning little and trying to support her when she needed support. Then one day, she came home to see the husband and the children. They hugged, they kissed, they were talking. And then the husband said, mentioned the name of a country or a capital, I don't know which one. And then the wife told him that, "Oh no, a bushman. That's not how it is called. The place is called this, this, this." And the husband smiled. And the wife said, "You should be stepping out. You know, you should see the world." And the husband said, "Really? What is the insult all about? You can't travel all over the world. So suddenly now I'm a bushman." And the wife said, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that all these things, you should learn how to pronounce them, you know. The world is moving very fast. And, you know, as a global person, the husband called me, the husband said, "You know what I'm going to do? I've realized that in the next 1 or 2 years, if she continues like this, she wouldn't even come back. The way she spoke, the attitude, we are not even vibing on the same wavelength. In her head, I am now a relic. In her head, she has moved into the 21st century and she has left me and the children in the 14th century." And I told her, I said, "Uncle Jide, calm down." He said, you are not there when she spoke. You did not hear her tone. There is this division. She spoke as if she was doing us a favor by coming home. Said, this is my wife, traveled for just 2 years. Yeah, I agree she traveled all over Europe. I agree that she had made something of herself, but was it without my help? Was it without my support? And I said, oh, please, before you take any step, can I speak with her? So then, Sunday morning like this, after 30 minutes with JSW, around 7 a.m., I called, she picked. She said, what is it? He has reported me to everybody. What is this that I said? He lives in Ibadan. He has not, the job he got online. He has not stepped out of the shores of Nigeria. I'm trying to make him see that how are we supposed to vibe in the same way? Does he expect that things will not change? And I could also see from her tone that she had totally forgotten who she was. She had evolved into somebody else. But of course, I couldn't tell the husband that. I told her, calm down. Even if, there was a time when this guy was way ahead of you and you are the one behind. And this opportunity that he got and pushed you forward, he could have pushed himself forward so that he will be the one advancing while you will be the one taking care of the children. This is not that he pushed you forward and that you are making good money now and you are vibing and you are doing well. Does not mean that you should treat him this way. Just 2 years. She said, but I'm going, girl, the truth has to be said. And the person that says the truth is the enemy in all situation. I'm willing to be the enemy here. No problem. The husband did not say anything to me again after that. She traveled after, I think, a month at home. Of course, that month was full of talk. The husband called her family, spoke to the family, called her own people, his own people, spoke to them, told them that the way this girl had evolved, the way she has changed, that practically there's no marriage anymore. Everybody said, oh, you are an alarmist. What is it? No, just calm down. Did she not come home? She went back. When she got back to her station, the other one was still in Nigeria. She did a video call with him. She got to a station like this and did a video call. And then she flipped the video and she told him, she said, look, compare the roofs of this city to the roof of Ibadan. And you are telling me we both be thinking in the same wavelength. Jide, you are telling me that both of us, that the sun that is melting your brain in Ibadan, the same sun that is making my own brain work better here, you are telling both of us to vibe. And she doubled down on the insult. And the husband went into the house, took out all her certificates that was at home, and brought it. She couldn't believe it. The husband just went into the house, took everything that he could lay his hand on, put it out. While they are still on video, set everything on fire. It became a problem for everybody. Now the wife called me. No, all I have is my international passport and this one. Every other thing that I left at home was safekeeping. He bought everything. Why? He doesn't have. He's there. He's angry. He's this. He's that. He should control his anger. You know what? While I do not control the behavior of the husband, and I do not condone the behavior of the wife, I took a lesson from that episode. That is the real value. You sent your children to school. The real value of the education you are giving to your children is responsibility. They don't owe you anything. That's the truth. You owe them that education, no matter how good the education is. It is their right from you. That is the real value of that education. But remember what I said? I said there is also a sentimental value. If you are giving your child that education, and then the child comes home from maybe boarding school one day, And the child, you notice a change in behavior, that the child became unruly, rude. The child became somebody that was becoming a shadow, was becoming somebody you are like, ah, how can I pour so much money into you? And this is what you are turning into. Then you can say, I'm changing your school. You see now, the sentimental value then redefines the real value. Even though the education was the child's right, it is the sentimental value you use to judge. They're looking at it and saying, how is he fitting into society? How is the light I'm showing him? How is it entering his head? How is it helping him to adjust to life? So that sentimental value is key. It is how we measure, because that is the perceived worth of that which a beneficiary is getting, and how the beneficiary will most likely put that perceived worth to use. So God one day woke Ezekiel up and said, write this story about the children of Israel. He said, the day I met them, the day I met her, her mother and father had her, and they dumped her in the dumpster. Her umbilical cord was not cut. She was a nobody. She was left to die, left to waste away. He said, but I took her. I cut the umbilical cord. I washed her with water. I rubbed her body with salt against infections. I looked at her with pity and compassion. And then I clothed her. He said, I fed her. He said, I nurtured her, and she became a fine girl. Said, but as soon as the beauty of youth came, she forgot all about me. Aha, which was how honor then comes into it. This man was not grooming her to marry her. He was grooming her as a son, as a daughter, to represent him. And in order to represent him well, the place of honor is the sentimental value of ownership. Let me say that again. The sentimental value of ownership is in honor. I belong to God, therefore I honor him. Because otherwise, that is the only way I can show him that my allegiance is 100% for him, my loyalty is 100% for him. His music and his words are the Fauna and the Fiona of my life. That in everything I do is number one. How would he know? It is true sentiments. No man can know the true value of any other man except sentimentally. If you have promoted somebody in your office, you have helped somebody to gain employment in an office, you have helped somebody to cross the very big barrier so that the person can become somebody in life, if you have invested in somebody's business so that the person is forever out of poverty, and you sit in your office, and the person is in the other office, the person does not know you are around. And the person begins to talk about you in a negative light. That is dishonor. You see, and how would you know the person was dishonoring you? Sentiment. What were the person's sentiments? When the person came into the office, they say, ah, how are you? Ah, oh, they say, ah. Where is that guy? I said, ah, ooh, ah, my your guy now. Ah, where is he? Say, ah, he's on his desk. Hey, is he sleeping? Is he snoring as usual? That flat blob head. And you are hearing him. He may say, oh, it's a joke, sir. He may say, I'm just catching fun with my friends. He may say, I really didn't mean it. He may say, oh no. But in truth, it is the sentiment spoken that gives you the true value of the worth of somebody's honor unto you. It is always in the sentiments. That is why sentimental value, even though you cannot accrue to it a particular figure in terms of money, it is very key in human relationship. The sentimental value, it is the key how you measure honor. You are not in a meeting. People are there. You are talking. They say, oh, we cannot allow him to continue as the largest shareholder of this company. Ah, is he the only one? Is he the only one? And then somebody said, no, you cannot talk about him like that. When the office was in financial crisis, we ran to him with members of the board. We ran to him, we begged him. He liquidated his assets in another company in order to put the money in this company. You don't know anything about that. And now you are shouting. And you are far away, maybe it's another country. And somebody called you and gave you the video. Say, ah, look at this young man. See how he defended you. Ah, that is sentiment. You see? That sentiment. That is, so you sit down, you watch the video, you are like, wow, I wasn't even there. But when I wasn't even there, and people are insulting me, and people are saying all sorts of things about me, my God, he stood his ground. He said kind words about me. He fought for me. Ah, this boy has honored me. Now, that boy has honored him more than anybody that comes bringing rice and chicken and saying, yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I just want to come and thank you. I want to thank you. You are the one that gave me the job. So I bought this rice. I bought this chicken. I bought this bread. You see, because the person that bought all those things, we will say he's grateful. But you see, those things are not sentimental. Those things are abstract value. I told you earlier, there is abstract value to honor. Abstract value. So when we bring money to God, for example, I had a friend. He wasn't born again. He was living a life that, and we went to secondary school together. He was living a life that it was as if he was a little demon. At the point, I thought maybe years ago, I thought maybe if he met a girl and maybe the girl can help his life because he didn't grow up with a mother. And I was just sentimental towards him because I love him. So then I will look for all these good, well-raised girls. I'll say, ah, I have a friend. He's a fine boy. He has a job. He was working with Safari Tours. But his life is adrift. I will coach the girl. Oh, I will tell the girl everything. So I'm going to introduce it to him. Don't go the way of untrained girls. Oh. He needs a woman in his life. Maybe that will help him to balance because I knew he didn't grow up with a mother. He grew up in an orphanage all his life. But I really wanted him to change, and I've tried. Do you know? He ended up corrupting everybody I introduced to him. I just see that all the girls' own training, church training, pastor's training, we just flew out of the window in one day or 2 days. By the time I will see the girl again, yeah, the girl was taking the girl to China or taking the girl to Tokyo. Girl will have been chopping the life of her head. And I just one day I just called him and said, hey, what is wrong with you? The lifestyle you are living, you are going to die young. This is not how to live. I've been there for you since I met you in GSS3. You spent the holidays with me. I tried to influence you the right way. What is wrong with you? So that day we had a very bitter fight. And then he said to me, you showed me the way of the Lord. And I pay my tithe to God every month. That's what I owe God. You see, in his head, abstract value, rice, beans, money. To him, that is what he owed God. That the thinking of those who think abstract value is honor. Those who think that, like Jacob, I'll give you 10%. Very dumb thinking. Thinks that because he gives God tithe, then God should just stay away from his affairs. As long as I pay my tithe, God should leave me alone. Not interested. Just want to enjoy my life. That's abstract value. Anybody that thinks that giving God things is how to honor God. Anybody that thinks giving you things is how to honor you. And that person really is not honoring you. You see, true honor, I told you, lies in the sentiment. You give the true value, measurable value, when you invest in someone. And then the person can only repay you with sentimental value. Nobody, your children cannot say, we have repaid our parents the full value of our education. It is impossible for you to repay your parents for the full value of your education. They may pay ₦400 for your school fees throughout your secondary school, but the value of your education is not ₦400. If you become a professor, if you travel the world, that education is part of the seed that took you all over the world. How do you measure that? You can't pay back an investment in your life, in your future, in your destiny with money. You can't. The only way you pay it back is in sentimental value. How you think, how you speak, in your closets, and when you are in your washroom, and you are sitting down on that WC, and your mind is drifting, and you're like, how did I get to sit down in a palace? And I'm using the restroom of a palatial hotel. My father invested in me. My father, the father is not there. But the thoughts, that's true or not. So when God wanted to show us, he said about David, he said, I have searched the length and breadth of Israel, and I've found one who has strong sentimental value towards me. You see, he said his heart, when he's not thinking, when he's just lying in the pasture and playing his music, not to please the king, not to please the queen, not to please anybody, just playing his own music to his own pleasure and joy. As this guy is playing, da, 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 he will just be blessing me. And God delights so much in that sentimental honor. That is the true value of honor. It is not in things you cannot repay. You can never repay God for life. You can never repay him for all the miracles and signs and wonders that you've given. You can't repay him with 10%. Then when some people say, I stand on my tithe, I used to look at them. Said people don't know how to think. So I actually say, well, yes, you are a complicated thinker. All these things, people are not interested. People just want to live simple lives. But hey, it is important that you raise the level of thinking of people, that you push it up, that they may see life from different perspectives and they may understand where they stand in things. It's a very, very basic thinking to say, I honor God with my tithe. No. You are honoring yourself with your tithe. If you give God anything, it is for your future. It is for your children. It is for the advancement of the true course you are working in. God does not delight in all those things. He said it himself. He said, what are you going to give me? You are going to kill an animal. You are going to throw a feast. If you throw a feast, who will eat it? Do I eat rice? Do I eat beans? No. The true honor then is in sentiment. So that's why you see, they will say, his food is dance, his thanksgiving, his praise. They will say he does not eat eba, he does not eat a kokore. What they're saying is, it is in the sentiments that true honor lies for the believer. When the prodigal son, the day the prodigal's life changed, pay attention to his sentiments. Pay attention. The sentiment, the thoughts that came to him of his own father when he was far from his father. Look at the thoughts. He said to himself, "Ha! Even the servants in my father's house, they are treated more kindly. They eat what they want. They dress well. I'm here. My pride has not made me come back home. And I'm eating a big stew. Oh, my father is a kind man. Father will forgive me. I'm going home." See, that sentiment. That sentiment. Ah, that's honor. That is a bad boy. Remembering his father, and his thoughts did not say, "My father is a wicked man. He knows that I'm finished spending the money now." He didn't say that I'm not paying money. He knows that I cannot manage this money. And he gave it to me. I blame my father. I blame him. He should have said no. He should have said I shouldn't leave. He should have not given me the inheritance. And even now that I'm finished spending it, he should have sent me some money. He should know. Why is my father wicked like this? That could have been his sentiment. He could have been entitled and still blaming the father that, you could have done more. You have more. You could have sent help. You abandoned me. That could have been his sentiment. And it would be a wrong sentiment because it would dishonor his father. But he had the right sentiment. His heart was in the right place. Because his heart was in the right place, he could make the right decision to turn. If his heart was in the wrong place, he would become bitter. He will stay there and he will say, "I will deal with my father one day. I will become rich. When I become rich, I will go and show him. I will go and show him that he's a wicked man. He gave me the money. I tried to invest, even though I wasted it. But I tried. I was forward-eyed. I was swindled. Somebody took the money from me. He knew I wasn't ready. Yet he gave me the money. And now I'm here. I got stuck. He didn't come for me. He didn't love me. I hate my father." His sentiment could have gone wrong. And the sentiment has gone wrong. The true value of honor is gone. I say this to you to check your thinking. No matter what you are passing through, what are your sentimental thoughts towards your father? What are your sentiments towards God? How do you speak to him? "Oh, I'm still single. I'm still single at 40. God is not kind. God is not just a simple. Your sentiment matters. It is the key to honor. No matter where you are, no matter what you are going through, I told you, the value of your sentiment is more important than the investment itself. God requires that when we think of him and his goodness, and his favor, and his faithfulness, and his loving kindness, and his investment in us, that the least our hearts can do is for our very, very heart to sing, "How great thou art, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. You are good. You are kind." That you are supposed to say in your heart, "Great is our God." Why? Because that is his nature. And that nature is what has brought you to wherever you are now. Even though you may make 1,000 wrong decisions on your own, the reason you are still here and not consumed is because of his mercies. God is not interested in the abstract value. It is from that sentimental value that we now come to the formula for the spiritual value. It will then determine your spiritual response. So if your sentiment is, "Thank you, Jesus," you now burst into tongues. You now begin to sing songs of praise. You see now, so from sentimental value, you move to spiritual value. So you now say, "When I think about your goodness and your faithfulness each time or each day, I consult myself and I say, hey, Imela." You see that now, from the moment you move to Imela, he has said, I looked at the value of my life. I consider the investment of God. I consider all the goodness of God, everything that has given unto me." He said, and I came up with this sentimental value. Thank you, Lord. Oh, kaka. And then he begins to speak in tongues. That moves him from thanksgiving into the spiritual value. That is the true nature of a grateful heart. That is how we honor God with our hearts. It is not when you get to church where a pastor is not saying, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and tell him thank you. No, 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 no. It has to be born from within. The sentiment must prompt you into worship. You know, say, no matter what I'm going through, I'm suffering, but I still thank you. No, no, the sentiment is wrong, and therefore the thanksgiving is not acceptable. The sentiment has to be born of the right spirit, and then it will lead into spiritual value, where the gates of thanksgiving will open and the courts of praise will be made available. And there you can also now obtain mercy, obtain grace in time of need, and also grow in the knowledge of God. Glory to God. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout,
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.